Society develops its way of thinking about the world. Societies have never been in contact with the media. There are not too many of them left. Still develop their own ways of thinking about the world. And a concept of what's appropriate, what's not appropriate, what's right, what's wrong. For me personally, as I began to get serious about following God, and really began to get into the Bible for myself, rather than just listen to what people had said, I began to find the Bible challenging a lot of my opinions. I like just about everybody else in this society anyway. I'd grown up pretty well drinking at the media fountain and buying their opinions and believing whatever they said. There is one great American God, greater than all of the gods. You know what it is? Cool. The God of cool. Americans would almost rather be poor than uncool. There are popular ideas in society, they're fostered by the media, championed by them often, that whenever you get into the Bible begins to speak a very, very different opinion. And it begins to call you to go a different way. I got into the Bible on a lot of issues. Like, marriage. What are the right roles for a husband and wife in marriage? Now, Deborah will tell you she was a budding feminist. Betty Friedan was one of her heroines. One of the early feminists, my wife. And Deborah is a very strong lady. Deborah could lead armies all by herself. We got into the scriptures and dug out for ourselves what the Bible really said about men and women in marriage. And we built our marriage that way. And you know what? March 28th will be 32 years. And I love her and she loves me. Some of my friends were not so fortunate. They chose to build their ideas about marriage on other stuff. Stuff that was popular at the time. And it cost them a great deal of pain. Capital punishment, that's a terrible, awful thing, just an absolute no-no. I got into the scriptures and began to find that they had a very different opinion. And if I actually espoused what scripture said, I was going to be uncool. So I began to study other things and began to find out that the issues that are often discussed in the media have other issues deeper under them. War is one of those areas. Self-defense and war is one of those areas. There are Christians, sincere Christians, who really disagree over the issue of war. And I'm sincere Bible believers. There are many that are Christians, they really don't believe the Bible. They believe, basically whatever was cool yesterday. But there are sincere Bible believers who have differing opinions on the issue of war. The difference in the opinion comes from, usually from their heritage and the way they approach the Bible. The interpretive approach you take makes a difference in conclusions you come up with. For myself, as I dug into the Bible, I began to discover that a lot of the things I just assumed were not correct. And there was a basis, a biblical basis for war. Biblically, it's the last thing on earth you want to do. It's the thing that you go into sadly, not with rejoicing. But there is a time for it. And what Ronnie's going to do is he's going to lay out some of the biblical issues for you, and what's called the theory of just war. People have debated these things for centuries. If you have questions yourself, we respect your questions. What we're going to try to do is lay out for you, just biblically, a valid biblical position on the war issue. What we do not intend to do is club you to death. That would be warlike, wouldn't it? And we don't want to bludgeon you. If you still have questions after we're through, fine. What you need to do is get into the Bible for yourself, beyond your heritage and beyond cable news network, ABC, CBS, and NBC, and find out for yourself what God says. However, when you scratch, most American Christians anyway, they bleed media, not Bible. So Ronnie's going to lay this out. This is something that's not very talked about very much. Ronnie, would you come on up?
An inevitable, horrible reality, never to be romanticized in any way. It is a reality. History bears that out. Every era of man has been plagued by war. It is inevitable because the Bible tells us that man is sinful. Jesus said there will be wars and the rumors of wars. There will always be a Nebuchadnezzar, a Nero, a Hitler, and a Saddam. Until the Antichrist, and ultimately the Battle of Armageddon. It is horrible. And what's going to be taking place with people dying is a horrible thing. But it is not the most horrible thing. The most horrible thing is to allow dictators to treat humans and seek to dominate the world and annihilate every enemy and enslave everyone else. Peace. Some say they are for peace, and then there are those for war. We're all for peace. But some of us understand, based on the Bible, that the sinfulness of man makes war sometimes the inevitable path to peace. Because some you simply cannot sit down and talk with. Because their goal is not world peace, their goal is world domination. So we're all for peace. It is said many times that war doesn't accomplish anything, but that's not really true. The American Revolution was a war of people who did not want their spirit and their body tyrannized. And so they fought and died, and you and I are the beneficiaries of that war. The Civil War was fought to bring about justice according to the Scripture and our Constitution. And it liberated, and it was right. World War II broke the back of the Third Reich, Imperial Japan, and Mussolini, all wanting world domination, which means the destruction of anybody who disagrees. The peace that we have today is the fruit of those people willing to go and die on foreign battlefields for you and me. Desert Storm, when we went, they were saying the same thing. We liberated Kuwait. The people shouted. And I've heard the leader of Kuwait say now, when all of them are saying we're coming for oil and we're coming to colonize, he said, Americans aren't doing that. If they wanted the oil, they could have had it last time. He said, they liberated us. And notice who's supporting us over there. The people that we've already liberated. Afghanistan, did you see them dancing on top of the trucks? Today in Kabul, they're building buildings so fast they can't keep up with it. There are 3 million children in school that weren't in school. And women have a real life because they've been liberated. War is a regrettable thing, but sometimes it is the only choice unless you're going to become slaves to a dictator. The anti-war have been wrong over and over again. They were wrong with World War II. You have to understand the people that were against war and saying just peace and let's talk, they've always been here. And they were wrong with World War II. Chamberlain was the Prime Minister of England, and he was peace, peace, we can negotiate, we can work it out. And he was flying over and having meetings with Hitler and Mussolini. And he was coming back and telling how great the negotiations were going. We were going to really work towards peace. These were a couple of fine gentlemen. And if we could just keep talking, it would all work out. We now know that they laughed at him when he left the meetings. And he should have caught it that they never called a meeting and they never came and met with him. And there was a man in the back of the parliament over there who was obscure and unknown and not well liked. And somehow he got elected to be the prime minister, and his name was Winston Churchill. And he climbed into the car and his chauffeur was in there, and his chauffeur turned around and said, "Mr. Churchill, I'm glad you're in charge." And Mr. Churchill was crying. And he said, "I hope it's not too late." If that change had not happened, we would be in a different world. The Cold War, they called for unilateral disarmament, where we got rid of all of our weapons. Had we done that, Russia would have conquered us. President Reagan came along, built up the military. He called Russia an evil empire, and he said, "Tear down that wall." And in 1989, that wall fell. And it did not fall through negotiations, but it fell through strength. They were wrong on Desert Storm. The same people that are against this, they were against that. And we went in and did exactly what we said, and we liberated Kuwait. They were wrong on Afghanistan. They said the same thing with them. We liberated them. And I pray to God that they're wrong this time. Biblically, the wars in the Old Testament, there is a prescription for it, like go into Canaan and so forth. We don't have any of those. There's no Bible verse that says go to war with Iraq or don't go to war with Iraq. So how do we deal with that? Two ways. Number one, Romans 13, the duty of government, the number one primary, unchallenged, peerless responsibility of government is to protect its citizens. And that is written into our Constitution, but it is first a biblical concept. This is what they're supposed to do. I don't know all the ins and outs. I don't have the intelligence working. I don't know everything about it, but I know one thing. God holds President Bush responsible for protecting the citizens of America, and he will be responsible to God for these decisions, but he is responsible to do this. And so we pray for him. Because of that, we know what government's supposed to do. Now, how do we decide when it has come to that inevitable time when war must be embraced? There's what's called the just war theory, and it was put together through the centuries by Augustine, then two other guys. One of them is the father of international law, and they came up with about seven principles. One of them was Thomas Aquinas in the 12th century. And through these, you look at it and you're trying to determine, this is to help us decide, are we taking into account the biblical principles? And I just want to give you, for the sake of time, two or three of them. One is, it's a last resort. The last resort principle is not a delay tactic. It's not for politicians to come along and say, well, there's something else we can try ad infinitum. What this principle meant was, you don't attack first thing. You try to negotiate. And if negotiations don't work, then you move. 18 resolutions have been made, and 18 resolutions have been violated by Saddam Hussein. Another principle is that it has to be for defense or liberation. It can't be for aggression. In other words, if we were going over there to get oil, to conquer a country for that, that is wrong. But if we are defending ourselves or liberating a helpless group, it is right. 60% of Iraq are Shiite Muslims. The Sunni are in control. Saddam is a Sunni. And the leader of the council of the Shiite said just the other day, we are waiting for America to come and liberate us. And six of his brothers have been assassinated by Saddam Hussein because they spoke out against him. Collateral damage, not making civilians the target. One of the horrible things is going to be, and Iraq is going to make sure that it gets on the airwaves, of civilians being killed. The just war principle says civilians are not a legitimate target. The reality is civilians get killed accidentally. We are not going to intentionally attack civilians, but they will be killed, and more this time maybe than in previous wars, because Saddam Hussein has bought uniforms that he puts on his civilians so that they will be killed. Then he can say civilians are being killed. He plants his troops in civilian neighborhoods, so when you go after the troops, you will kill civilians. But remember, that's not us violating the just war theory. That's him putting his own people in the place to be absolutely destroyed so he may survive. It has to potentiate a better situation. Doesn't guarantee it, but it potentiates it. And that would come about if they were freed. Well, what are we supposed to do? Let me just give you a couple of thoughts that I jotted down. When we went to war with Germany, we didn't really know. And after the war, we went in to Dachau and Buchenwald and Auschwitz. And all of humanity was shocked. No one knew. Yes, they had rumors. Yes, they knew things were going on. No one knew how massive. I don't know what we may find. The thing about Germany, some criticize today, we went in too late. That's what they're trying to avoid today. They know these things are going on. They don't know how vast, except from the testimony of those coming out of the country. Just a brief profile on Saddam Hussein. What you're not getting on the media is the religious aspect of this. And just to give you a tidbit, Saddam, his father died. He grew up with either an uncle or a grandfather who was a part of the communist or the Third Reich Party, the Nazi Party. By Saddam's own words, his role model of a leader is Joseph Stalin. Joseph Stalin is responsible for the execution of between 60 and 70 million of his own people. That's his role model. He also believes that he wants to restore the glory of Babylon. Baghdad is where the Babylon of the Bible was. And he wants to restore that, and he would be the king. Also, in the height of the Islamic Empire, during the Ottoman Empire, the rule of the caliphate, the leader of Islam, it was the pinnacle of that, and the center of that was Baghdad. And he sees himself as taking that place. And when he's invaded Iran, and when he's invaded Kuwait, the reasons are he wants to bring all of the Islamic world under him as the caliphate in Baghdad and restore the empire, which would then control the world. This is the profile. There is no negotiation with him. No negotiation. I pray that the president will make the right decisions and others, because they have knowledge about this that I don't have. I pray about innocent people. I pray for the soldiers. I pray that it would be over quick. I pray that we would handle every bit of it as right as possibly could be handled. The reality of war is it is not a pretty sight. I am very thankful that some people, I don't know their names and I don't know most of their families, but I've read about them. And they went off to the American Revolution. They fought in the Civil War. They fought in World War I and World War II and on down the line. And so we're here today. Make no mistake about it, if the people before us would not have had the courage to go against would-be world dictators, make no mistake about it, we wouldn't be here like this. So pray. And be careful of the media, because they omit the religious aspect, both the Islamic and the biblical principles of this. Max?
Be aware, too, that in some of the media, it will be announced about the death. Intelligence sources says even weeks ago, Saddam Hussein was copying the American uniforms, the English uniforms, putting him on his own people so that those people could kill some of his own people and it be blamed on the Americans. We're dealing with a ruthless man. So, let's be prayerful. We don't know all that will happen. But men have prayed and weighed this situation for some time. A decision has been made. And let's pray. You know, another thing, we've had men that have been over in a desert for weeks, away from their families. You may have seen on the news, one man felt like it was his responsibility to go there. His little baby's at home. If he didn't get a heart transplant, would die. That man would very much like to be with his family, but he feels like he has a responsibility to more people than his own family. We know, too, through history, that sometimes when men are gone for months, wives get involved with other people. Men, sometimes that happens. Let's be very prayerful for the people at our home. And some of those men have waited in a desert week after week after week. Away from their families, sooner or later, a decision had to be made. And it's been made tonight. And so let's pray together, and then we'll go to our family groups. Father, I'm so grateful that all my life I have been a free man. I've not been free in the sense that I've not been at times earlier in my life under the control of a sinful nature. But I thank you for Jesus and the liberation he's given. But Father, I'm thankful that I've lived in a nation where all my life I could go to church, I could read my Bible, I could work where I could get a job or where I chose to work. I didn't have someone telling me what to do or what to believe. And Father, I know that buried in many countries of the world are young men, the ages of guys right here, who laid down their lives, and as a result of it, we have the privilege of being here tonight. And Father, there may be some of us right in this room that will lay down our lives, maybe trying to reach people in the Muslim world, or whatever you call us to do. And Father, I pray that across this nation and around the world, you would send men to their knees, that we would pray. And Father, we pray for protection. We know that terrorists could strike here. They could strike in many places trying to divert our taking care of what needs to be done in Iraq. And so, Lord, we pray that you will protect us. And God, we pray that you will work in America, that there might be a turning back to you, that you would send revival across this nation. God, that you'd send revival starting here in our lives, and may it spread. And so, Lord, we thank you that we're here at this time, not just stuck on watching hours of television, but just at a place where we can pray, learn about what fools we don't want to be, and trying to be men and women that live our lives like you want us to. God, thank you for tonight. And we pray for President Bush, for Colin Powell, for other men, for men right now that are putting their lives on the line. And some of them may never come back. And God, we pray for them. And pray that through our troops, men will be sharing their faith. That as men face the fact that they might die, that they'll be turning to you. And that they'll remember that and serve you the rest of their days. So thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.